Welcome. This is Erica Glessing. You're joining me for The Erica Glessing Show, where you have 8 minutes of inspiration for both entrepreneurs and lightworkers. And my next guest is just a fascinating, he has some fascinating information for you. Honestly, guys, you have not heard this fascinating information. I know I say that a lot, but I really have to say that big for this. His name is Mark Gober. He actually lives in California where I live, so we're actually in the same country and state, which we know is very rare for the Erica Glessing Show. And his latest book is fresh out. It's called An End to Upside Down Thinking, Dispelling the Myth that the Brain Produces Consciousness and Implications for Everyday Life. So, Mark, welcome. How are you today?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing well.
Yeah. Is it kind of exciting having a new book come out? Is it kind of an exciting moment to have this all reaching reality?
It is exciting because there was a lot of buildup, and I'm excited for people to read it and hear reactions. And I hope that it has a positive impact on people.
How many years did you work on this?
Well, that's its own long story, but I saw my day job is in finance. I'm a partner at a firm in Silicon Valley. Prior to that, I was in investment banking in New York during the financial crisis. And prior to that, I was at Princeton University where I was captain of the tennis team. So that's my background. And my book is on consciousness, totally unrelated on the surface. It was about 2 years ago that I first became exposed to these topics through podcasts, totally changed my life. I went into a year's worth of very intense research and then wrote the book over a few weekends in July of 2017.
That's interesting. You know, my first book was so interesting. The way it came in, it was like, I just kind of put up an ask for something different, or I wanted to write a book because I've been writing since I've been a journalist my whole life. So I'm like, okay, God, give me a book. And I wrote it in a July. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. My kids were little. And so I did it before they woke up. So I had to finish by 6:30 or 7. And all of a sudden you'd start hearing them, you know, pitter pattering. And I remember that just intensity of the writing. What was that like for you when the writing was coming in? What was that? Just the whole, like, not the topic of the book, but just like that experience of having it come through you. What was that like?
It was like a compulsion that I had to finish it as soon as possible. That's the best way to explain it.
Really?
And it was difficult because it's a research-based book. It's the science behind this idea that consciousness isn't produced by the brain. And there are over 700 citations. So I could only go so quickly where I had to cite everything properly, but I wanted to finish it as quickly as I could. So It was an interesting push and pull because I couldn't just totally let it flow. I could do that to an extent. I had to pull in the research.
So it's almost like it's being called forth. It's like almost right, like this thing you're talking about, like it's very interesting. And I think a lot of the writers and authors have that sense that they have to contribute to mankind right now.
Yeah, that's how I definitely felt as I was writing it.
All right. Well, I mean, we're here and we have the listeners. So give us a little secret. What's inside the book? Give us a peek.
Okay. So I think the topics we'll talk about here are probably obvious to many of your listeners. But what I've tried to do is to bring these ideas to a very mainstream audience that might have no familiarity at all, and also provide a platform for people who have these experiences to have scientific research to explain some of the things that they're experiencing personally. So I look at what Science Magazine has called the number two question that remains in all of science. As they put it, what is the biological basis of consciousness? In other words, how does our brain, which is physical, like I can touch my body, it's touchable, it's physical, how does that produce a consciousness that you can't touch? What I argue in my book is we haven't figured out the answer because consciousness doesn't come from the brain in the first place. And instead, the brain is like a filtering mechanism or a processor of consciousness, but the consciousness itself exists beyond space and time. So the implications are things like...
Pause, breathe. Okay.
Okay.
Breathe into that sentence.
Okay.
Because
I want to get it all in 8 minutes.
That sentence would like a little more space, and I think you need to turn up your audio a little.
Okay.
So when we say consciousness, I love this whole concept of it being, you know, more infinite and more bigger than us. I love that the brain is more of a function of it. That's such a fascinating way of looking at it. And I just want to give that concept just a little more space. There we go. Yeah. So it's an upside down thinking because we're not at cause of the consciousness is what you're saying.
Exactly. So the conventional view is that matter creates consciousness through a brain. And what I'm arguing is that consciousness is primary to matter.
So then once, say, let's say we're all in, then how can we tap this concept to make our lives better?
I think a few ways. One is if we all have these abilities, if the brain is actually more like an antenna or a filter of consciousness, then we can use psychic abilities, intuitive abilities, if we learn how to use them. And I think part of the issue is that science hasn't really explored how all of this works. So we're left for people to explore on their own. And maybe certain people have ways of enhancing these abilities, but there's no really systematic way that's taught everywhere. So I think that's one area, is improving intuitive abilities. Another
That gave me a really good vision, like of it almost feels a couple decades ahead of its time, where everyone just acknowledges that consciousness can connect us all with each other just synchronistically without so much effort. Is fascinating.
Right. And I think, to me, the science suggests that's the reality that we're in. So that's part of the reason I felt so compelled to write the book, is to make the information available and hopefully stimulate more research and thinking on this topic.
So maybe just share with us another story about the process of doing the book. Tell us a little bit what this was like for you. You connected with some really interesting people when you did it, right?
I did. It was a, if you had talked to me 2 years ago, I wouldn't have had any plans of writing a book or or desire to do anything in a public setting. And here I am.
Yeah.
The process was, after I wrote it, and I had a manuscript coming out of July 2017, and I had two scientists take a look at it, they both told me that I should get it to a mainstream audience, and the best way to do that would be to get a literary agent. Mm-hmm. So I was referred to Bill Gladstone at Waterside Productions, who represents mm-hmm. Eckhart Tolle and Neil Donald Walsh and some people who are prominent in the space. I sent him a cold email, and he responded the same day. This is a few weeks after I wrote the book. And he sent me an agreement saying the ideas resonated. So all of a sudden I had the literary agent that
Oh my goodness. This, you know, and when people talk about being in alignment and how that changes your life, right? It's like you're in alignment. You got the whisper. You got shown someone. I remember when my book, Happiness Quotations, I was writing it, and I sent Jack Canfield a cold email, and I just ferreted out his like email address. Like, it was like Jack@JackCanfield. I don't know what it was. I don't want to out him, but it was something really obvious. And I sent him 14 pages, and he sent me a testimonial.
That's amazing.
And it was like, it was just one of those things that, like you said, like you just got connected with the right agent. And that was the first agent you contacted?
I had contacted a bunch, but I had two people that separately said you should contact Bill Gladstone. And I was just kind of sending them out.
And you were just like, you know, this guy is a fit because he'll get the book better than most people would.
Yes. And he did. So he's been extremely helpful.
And then he shopped it for you and got you a deal.
Well, he has his own publishing arm, so he's publishing it as well.
It's just so exciting. I'm so pleased that you could take the time to come on my show and share a little bit of your magic, and maybe just tell us a little bit more about consciousness. We just have a few minutes left, but I wouldn't mind hearing a little bit more of your awareness about consciousness.
Okay. So there are two categories of scientific evidence that I talk about beyond quantum physics, which is kind of an underpinning for everything. But the two categories that I discuss are psychic abilities and survival of bodily death, meaning that when the body dies, the consciousness doesn't die with it, because consciousness isn't dependent on the body in the first place. The different categories in each of those, so I have a chapter on each, and all the evidence, the best evidence that I think is available today for each one. Under psychic abilities, remote viewing is one, which is the ability to perceive something with the mind, like clairvoyance, telepathy, precognition, which is knowing the future before it happens, animals that have psychic abilities, and psychokinesis, which is the ability for the mind to affect physical matter. The other category, survival of bodily death, has three chapters. One is on near-death experiences, and I argue that those are not hallucinations, that those are actual experiences when the brain is not functional or is very impaired.
The second is communications with the deceased, mediumship, and after-death communications. And the third is children who have past life memories. And I'm referring to research done at the University of Virginia for over 50 years.
Oh my gosh, Mark. You know, I'm just so excited that you showed up today because you know me so well. I mean, you guys really, if you listen to this and you know me, I mean, those of you who know me, you just know how much I'm smiling inside at this. So Mark, we don't have any more time left. We lasted our whole 8 minutes plus. So why don't you share with us where we can find your book, get your book, and if we could reach out to you, how might we do that?
Sure. Well, thank you again for having me. My website is my name, Mark Gober, MarkGober.com. And my book, An End to Upside Down Thinking, is available at my website, but also on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and many other bookstores.
Awesome. Thanks for coming.